Turn to your neighbor and say, oh yeah, Mr. Postman. Some of you showing your, my mom and dad love this stuff right there, man. That's on their satellite radio. Those 50s, man. They love that generation. Hey, today we are talking about letters from Paul. We had last week the first sermon in this series addressing the issue that Paul left some letters to us. He wrote some letters to the New Testament church. I believe that God ordained for Paul to spend so much time in prison because he had some things that he wanted him to put in letter form, to write down. Other than Paul going on taking a missionary journey back to those places, he was forced to have to sit down and write these messages out and then send them, therefore duplicating them for us to be preserved and bringing them to us today, because the same issues the churches he was planting and starting back then is still the same issues that you and I are dealing with today. These are not issues that were just primitive or solo to that time frame and to that time era, but they also transform from there and also transform into now, and some of the same things we're battling in the modern church today. And so we're going to look at some of these letters in this series called Letters from Paul. Paul sent some letters. He wanted us to be aware of some things that he really thought were important. Now, last week, we opened up with the question and the series called What Really Upset Paul? Now, I had another title for this sermon. I really wanted to title it, but my wife wouldn't let me use it. So I entitled it instead. I kept it a little more tame. Things That Really Upset Paul. There's some things that really got under his skin. There's some things that really upset Paul and made him very, very angry. And nothing angered Paul more, nothing that really bothered Paul more than when religious people would come in and try to take away the freedom of grace that had been taught. These churches had been planted as Christians. They were following Christ as the Messiah. They believed the teaching that Christ was the Messiah, that he was crucified for the remission and the forgiveness of sins, that whoever freely received this gift would what now become righteous. Now they were made holy. And it was a new teaching, because before then it was a series of long lists of religious rules that you had to keep to become holy. And so now they're finding this, and Paul establishes the New Testament church. So New Testament church, now they're getting saved on the day of Pentecost. Now all these things are happening. They're receiving Christ as the Messiah. They're having all-night prayer meetings. They're meeting in homes, praying one with another, fellowshipping, sharing what they have, helping out the poor, doing all kinds of things to New Testament church. They were praying for people. They were being healed. They were baptizing them in water. They were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, all these things were happening, and the religious people are like, wait a minute, this is not right. I've been following all these rules for so long, and I'm trying to get to my religious level of status. I want the big hat that says, you know what, I've memorized the Torah so much, and I've done all these religious things, and I want all this. And these people are coming in now, and they're operating in all this new freedom and grace and righteousness. And they were like, all right, we believe. And so what happens? They say, we believe Christ was the Messiah, but you receive it freely, but in order to keep it, you got to earn it. So they were saying this, that Christ is the Messiah, but you receive your salvation freely from Christ on the cross, but every day, in order to please God and to keep it, you got to walk it out with these lists of rules, religious regulation. And so they were taking what Paul had sent as far as grace and taking it and messing it all up and getting people right back to the seat of being bound. Look at what we picked up last week, Galatians 5, verse 1. In chapter 5, verse 1, we read it last week. I want to start off again today. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. That sounds redundant, doesn't it? Duh, it makes sense. For freedom, we've been set free. But the problem is this. We are bound in our own sin. We are bound in our own unrighteousness. And when we accept the grace that happens through the cross, we are set free from that. We become made righteous, as we talked about last week. We become sons and daughters. We are adopted into the kingdom. We are becoming righteous, not because of anything we've done to earn it, only by the free gift of grace that we accept that happened through the cross when Jesus died for us. And so he says it's for freedom that we bust loose from all that religious thing that's holding us back, the yoke of slavery and sin, the yoke of being burdened to the slavery of religion, rules and regulations, being whole, all these things happening. We're breaking free from that. We're set free. And now these people were coming along, and they were saying, all right, you're free, but you got to, every day, you got to follow so many of these religious rules, putting people right back to here. So here they were, saved by grace, but bound by religion. I mean, what a terrible place to be. Saved by grace, set free by grace, only to have religion come and bound you right back up and be right back here again. I'm saved by grace. See, when you're saved by grace, you realize it's all about him. You're motivated by what he's done for you, who he is, the atonement he's brought to you. I'm made righteous by him, not nothing I've done. He has made me righteous. He has made me clean. He's made me a son and daughter, not by the things I've done to earn it, by the grace he's given me freely. Oh, and that sets me free to worship him. That sets me free to live for him. That sets me free to, man, I can do anything now. I've been set free. There's nothing I can't do with God's help. There's nothing that God can't propel me to do because of his grace. But religion keeps you right back here. Well, I could do something I forgot, but man, I got so many bad sins, and my sin's a lot worse than these people's sin. And man, I had a good week, and then I had a bad week. I had a good week free, and a bad week, I'm right here, bound. I want to worship God, but you know what? I had a bad week, so I'm not worthy. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. And grace is not about me. It's about him. What he did on the cross. So he has come, it's for freedom that we walk free. And Paul was so upset at the people who were coming in, taking away this religious bondage, and they were coming in and saying, all right, you're back there, you're not worthy, you got to follow all these rules. He's like, listen, I tell you this, I'm telling you now, why did you leave the teaching of grace that I taught you? He says, let me make it very clear. If I come to you a year from now and tell you anything other than what I just taught you, don't believe it. Matter of fact, he says, even if an angel appears to you and says it's something else besides grace, he says, don't believe it. That's how much he was saying it's all about grace that sets us free. That he's called us to live free from that bondage. Now, last week, I used this chair as the place, a symbol of us being set free from religious bondage. And I was getting pretty passionate. Someone told me this week, Pastor, I think we're going to have to buy you a new chair. You keep beating this chair. The reason why I'm beating this chair, because I was taking out some spiritual frustration. Because I'm tired of seeing people live in religious bondage when Christ has set us free. Man, you are free. I want to see you soar the way God is calling you to soar. I want to see you walk free. I want to see you living your life free to pursue the passions of God in your life and not living here, well, I would, but I got too many bad things. I've done too many bad sins. That's just religious bondage that keeps us there. Now, I will tell you this, that in my life, as I think about myself growing up, that every memorable encounter I had with God was guilt-driven. Some of you are raised just like me, so you understand what I'm talking about. Every time that I really went to God and had what I think would be a big encounter with God, it was guilt-driven. You know, I'm living here. I got all this guilt. I'm feeling guilty about the way I'm living my life. And then I feel so guilty, and then I hear a message that's guilt-driven, and finally I go, oh, God, I can't do it no more. And I give it all to God, and I cry. God, I just can't remember living you ever. And this, all these things. And man, we leave, and I feel so much free, and like the burden has been lifted. We're high-fiving each other. Man, this is good, man. We're gonna live for God this time. We're going to do it more than ever. This is going to be the best. This is going to be awesome. And then a week later, we're like, oh, right back where I was. Man, I can't do this. I feel defeated. Every time I make a sin, I feel right back here, back in that guilt trap. And you know, I had people who would look at me and be like, "You're going to hell." I had people who would look at me and be like, I had teachers and I had people in spiritual authority in my life, and they would tell me, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You had this one sin and you're going to hell. And it wasn't done in the spirit of love either. They were trying to motivate me, and they were trying to condemn me, and it kept pushing me down, and it kept putting me right back. You're right, I am going to hell. You're right, I am bad. You're right, God doesn't love me the way I am. You're right. And I allowed it to put me right back in here. It's really become a form of spiritual abuse. It's a very real thing. And at the end of my message, I want to come back, and I want to deal with that, and I actually want to spend some time praying for some of you, because some of you have been through some of that. But he didn't die on the cross. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you and I to live ourselves right here. He came to set us free. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm called to be free. I'm called to be free. Look what, now let's pick it back up. Now in Galatians 5:1, today I want to talk to you about keeping in step with the Spirit, okay? Keeping in step with the Spirit. Now, Galatians 5:1, he says, "It's for freedom we've been set free, that we're not called to be a slave to the yoke of sin," right? And so then now in verse 16, we see him picking up, expanding on this now. How can you and I not be a slave to the sin that wants to trap us in our lives? Look what he says. "So I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, many people, I believe, if you hear this message of grace saying, "All right, yeah, man, I've received grace, and this is my get-out-of-jail-free card," you got the wrong idea of grace. Because Paul was saying, listen, there's some things, you gotta walk in the Spirit here, okay? You just don't give over to your flesh. The grace message is not the excuse for you to go out and just live in your flesh however you want to. Because I want you to live and walk in the Spirit as well. You know, it's kind of like when, maybe in junior high, a pack of hall passes may have accidentally fell into my backpack. I'm not really sure how it got there, maybe, but maybe it actually fell there. And I had a whole thing, a backpack of hall passes. And anytime I would get caught in the hall during class hours or come in late for my class because maybe I stayed over at the other lunch a little too long than I should have, I had a hall pass. And it's like you get busted. It's like, oh, I don't care. Hey, hall pass! Okay, go one in class. We'll take this one, you know, throw it away. And I had a whole backpack full of them. I can basically get out of free. Some of us, that's the way we view grace. It's kind of like, you know, we just live our life and, all right, here, I got a hall pass. Grace, ha, ha, ha. You can't hold it over me. Grace, I can do what I want. No, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. You're not receiving grace. Grace is not truly setting you free if you're living with that attitude. No, the attitude Paul says we live with is we've been set free. And he talks about it. So now I say, how do we live free? Walk by the Spirit. Be a Spirit-led person. He says your flesh is going to battle the Spirit. So first of all, don't feel guilty when your flesh is rising up, okay? We all have flesh moments, and our flesh will always rise up. But the mature Christian learns to say, I'm learning to let the Spirit war against my flesh, and I'm learning to let my flesh submit to the ruling of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm learning to not let my flesh just do what it wants, but I listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I let it come alive in my life. And then he goes on after the next verses, and he lists several sins. He talks about some spiritual sins here. He talks about some sexual sins. He talks about substance sins. He talks about all kinds of categories of sins as an example. And then he picks it back up here, talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit, everybody say the fruit. That's important. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And so what is happening here is there. He says it's by the fruit of the Spirit that we're called to be fruit of the Spirit people, led by the Spirit, producing fruit of the Spirit. So I need some help this morning. I want to show you an example here. When we talk about fruit of the Spirit, this is kind of what we think of. Give me all these guys in the front row. Johnny, that's yours right there. Come on, Becca. Come on, Mike, Brittany, Emily, Aaron. Give me a hand here. Mo, give me a hand. Johnny, give me a hand here. There you go, guys. Here's some fruit. Apple. Yes. Master Chef. You can do a lot with that pineapple right there, I know. There you go. One more. Come on up here. Join us. Here you go. All right. No wonder you play defensive back and not offensive side. Okay. So now when we normally think of the fruit of the Spirit, when people teach on the fruit of the Spirit, this is, hold your fruit out for everybody to see. This is the way we kind of think of it. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit, it's joy, it's love, it's peace, it's self-control. And we have all these things and we list and we hear all these things talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the way when we hear it taught, this is the way we picture it in our head, right? Because this is the way we see fruit. There's only one problem with this, is that when I see a peach, what kind of tree does this come from? Peach tree. When I see a pear, what kind of tree am I thinking of? A pear tree. I see a pineapple, what kind of tree? Pineapple tree. And so when I see it this way, I'm picturing it. It's not fruits of the Spirit. Scripture said it's the fruit of the Spirit. This is really not the correct way to view it. The correct way for us to view it would be this. Go ahead and take that up. The correct way for us to view the fruit of the Spirit is really like this. Back up, guys. Back up here. You're not done yet. Come on now. We're going to have a class on listening to the pastor. Okay. Peace. There we go. Faithfulness. Kindness. Love. Well, you may not get gentle. Let's find one here. Patience. That's a little better for you. Okay. Joy. Emily, you really need patience with this man right here. Okay, so it's fine. Gymnast, self-control. There we go. All right, now hold those out for everybody to see. Your words out. This is really the correct way for us to view the fruit of the Spirit. Because when I look at this, even though I see many fruit, it all points to one tree, right? Now follow me here. So when I operate and come under the covering of the Holy Spirit, I submit and say, I'm coming under subjecting my flesh under the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit covers me like a tree, and it drops into my life its fruit for me to handle and for me to use. Are you catching it? And when people see this fruit, does it point them back to a pineapple tree? No. It all points back to the Holy Spirit. Are you following? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, isn't it? It all points back to the same tree. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And when I submit to the submission of the Holy Spirit in my life, it all points back to people recognizing, oh, that came through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has not given me self-control, but it's me using self-control that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's me using love that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's me using joy that comes through the Holy Spirit. It's me using patience that comes through the Holy Spirit. It's me using peace that comes through the Holy Spirit. All these things are coming through the Holy Spirit, and I'm using it in my life, and it becomes a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Are you catching that? Come on, give God a hand. That was a good revelation this morning. Thank you, guys. Now you're free to go. Now throw me that peach. Thanks, peach. All right, that's my peach. That's daddy's peach. When I was growing up, I had an uncle who lived in Porter, Oklahoma. Does anyone know what Porter, Oklahoma is known for? Porter, if you didn't know it, now Porter is actually the peach capital of Oklahoma. And some of you right now are saying, I didn't know Oklahoma had a peach capital. Oklahoma actually has a peach capital. It's in a small town outside of Muskogee, in between Wagner and Muskogee, called Porter, Oklahoma. And every year, they used to have this big peach festival. Now, when you drive to go to Porter, you pass all these rows of peach trees. and they have peaches everywhere, and you can stop and buy them on the side of the road, man. They are great. They're very good. And they have a festival every year, and at the festival, they have homemade peach pies. They have homemade single fried peach pies. They have peach cobbler. They have peach ice cream. They have peach candy. They have peach cake. They have peach everything. They have Miss Peach USA. They have Miss Peach Porter, Miss Peach Oklahoma, Junior Peach Porter, and they're all going through the parades, and Peach Homecoming Queen, and they have all these rides and all these themes. They have the Peach Band coming out, the Ladies Peach Marching Band, all these things happening. Everything is about peaches in the Peach Festival. What you don't see there is apples. You won't find any apples at the Peach Festival. You can't buy a piece of apple pie during the festival. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get a banana pudding during the Peach Festival. During the Peach Festival, it was all about peaches. Why? Because that's what they were known for. See, the fruit of the Spirit is very much evident in our life. Why? Because people need to know what we're known for. People need to know this is what this represents. We play this game sometimes in our house and with people I know. Like, I found somebody who looks just like you. I ran into somebody in Tulsa who looks just like you. Or I ran into somebody at the mall who looks just like you. We take a picture secretly, you know, and send it to them. The other day, I was flying in a plane, and there was a guy on there, and he looked just like one of the pirates off the Samoan pirates from Captain Phillips, the movie. And I sent a picture, and I sent it to Pastor TJ and Justin. I'm like, look, you guys better pray for me. Look who's on my plane. And they were laughing because he looked just like him. And, you know, we do that, don't we? Because we see people and say, oh, I met someone who looks just like you. You see, when people see us walking around, they don't say, hey, Chad, wait a minute, Chad, now you remind me of somebody. Wait a minute, I'm trying to think, who is it you remind me of? Elvis? Oh, Clint Eastwood, right? No, not Clint Eastwood, no. Oh, wait a minute, you remind me of Jesus. Nancy, wait, you remind me of somebody. Oh, you remind me of Jesus. Because the way you act is the way Jesus acts. The way you talk, that's the way Jesus would talk. The way you allow the fruit to come in your life, the self-control you have, no, that's just not good manners. You went above and beyond with that self-control thing. That had to be Jesus. That kindness you showed when nobody else wanted to be kind, that wasn't just because your mama raised you right. That was Jesus' kindness right there. That joy you got, even though you're going through some bad reports and a bad season, that's wore itself off. You're not being fake. That's Jesus' joy right there. When people see us, we should be able to point them right back to the fruit. We should be able to say, oh, they connect the dots. Oh, it's coming back from the fruit of the Spirit. I come under subjection of the Holy Spirit's tree, and I allow the fruit of the Spirit to be dropped in my life so I can show it. People say, oh, yeah, that came from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that came from Jesus. That looks like Jesus. Let me give you three elements of fruit real fast today, and then I'm going to close with another illustration. Number one, fruit is visible. Fruit is visible. People see your fruit. Let me say this to you. People are not going to know you're a Christian by how many scriptures you post on your social media account. They're not going to know you're a Christian by how many great scriptures you retweet. They're not going to know it by the Christian t-shirt that you wear. They're not going to know it by how many bumper stickers you got on your car to say, I love Jesus, and honk three times. It doesn't make a difference. The way they're going to know if you are really a Christian is right here. By our fruit. This is where the money is at right here, baby. You can do it all you want. You've heard me tell stories of being in the store and having people treat me very rude and cut in line and talk bad. And you look back and they're wearing a Christian t-shirt. Oh, you want to get my blood boiling. I've actually told people, I'll never come to your church if that's the way all Christians act. I've done that before. Make them feel guilty. I made them think I was dying and going to hell. And they're sending me there in the basket, you know. Why? Because we wear the t-shirt. We can post 12 scriptures a day, and it doesn't make us any more of a light or any more of a Christian than our fruit will. Matter of fact, if you're quoting a lot of scripture every day, I think you're probably going through something in your life. They must be struggling. They must be struggling. They're really searching right now. Let's pray for them, you know? No, what's really going to show people that we're a Christian is this. It's the fruit of the Spirit in our life. It's the fruit. It comes down to the fruit. This is what points it to the tree. This is what connects me to it. They will identify us by our fruit because it's recognizable. Number two, it's recognizable. Even though it's called many different things, it all looks the same. You can tell where it came from. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's recognizable. People recognize us and say, oh, that's Jesus. Oh, that's coming from the Holy Spirit. They recognize it. And the third thing we see about fruit is for other people. Fruit is not, God doesn't give me spiritual fruit for me to eat. No, he gives me spiritual fruit to give it away. Too many of us think, oh, yeah, I get a spiritual fruit.
Precious.
Come on, you know what I'm talking about. We get one spiritual fruit. Oh, thank you, Lord. No. God gives me spiritual fruit so I can give it away. So I can be a blessing to somebody else. And could it be, the more I give away, the more he drops down to me. Oh, wait, John just gave it away? Boom, 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 boom. How do you like that? Boom, 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 boom. I can see God ever smiling, man. The more I give it away, the more he gives to me. The more, see, God will get it to me if he can get it through me. I need more spiritual fruit in my life. Give away what you got. Quit holding on to the one. Give it away and see if God doesn't give you two. Give it away too, and see if God doesn't give you four. Give it away. It's not for us to consume ourselves, but it's to be a blessing to other people. Paul said, learn to walk in the Spirit. Now look at this last verse in verse 25. Now after he tells us all about being the fruit of the Spirit people, now he says, since we live by the Spirit, how do we live? By the Spirit. Everybody say it. By the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So this is the thing that he's trying to show us right here, that we are to keep in step with the Spirit. Now this word in step is really a military term. We see this phrasing goes back, and it's the same military type term that we see when they talk about keeping in step. So we see military. If we got any ex-military people out here, raise your hand. How many of you guys remember marching? Learning to march. The troops go marching in. Hurrah, hurrah. Come on now. Left, right, left. Left, right, left. It's one of the first things you learn to do is march in step, right? It's one of the first disciplines of being a soldier is you learn how to march in step. So how many know we're called to God's army? And one of the first disciplines of being in God's army is learning to walk in step with the Spirit. And so too many of us are not walking in step with the Spirit. So this is the way that it really looks. Come here, Johnny. You're going to follow me, right? Behind me? Marching in step. Left. Right. I don't know. Just follow me, right? Come on. Follow me. What I do, you do, right? Up. Up. Come on now. What can you do? No, I'm not telling you to leave. Come up here. Come on now. You're following the lead of the Holy Spirit. So this is how we grow as Christians. Okay? It's this. The Holy Spirit, we are being led by this Holy Spirit. So you're coming under the covering of the Holy Spirit saying, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm going to let you lead my life. I'm going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit starts walking, and he gets out ahead. He says, all right, John, listen. How about this? How about you learn to be faithful to God's house? Because when you're here, you do so much better during the week. And when you connect with other people, it strengthens you. You have a better outlook on yourself. And you're like, oh, that's a good revelation. I'll do that. So you take that word, you put it in your heart, and you follow the Holy Spirit, and we go to the next level. Oh, wait, John, not something else. All right, John, now this week, you know what? Your attitude really stinks at work. And so I need you to have a better attitude at work. I want you to work for your employer the way you would work for me. Get your eyes off them and just work as unto me and let me take care of the rest. Okay, God, I take that word in my heart. Holy Spirit, I'm keeping a step. The Holy Spirit, now I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. All right, I'm doing that. I'm growing. I'm going. Wait a minute, Johnny. Wait, you know those people that you've been hanging out with? Those are really not good influences in your life. So I want you to cut loose some of those people, and instead I want you to surround it with people who are more positive, who are uplifting you instead of always bringing you down. That's going to change you a little bit. That's going to make you stronger. You're not going to fall as much. He's like, oh, that's a great thing. So I'm getting revelation from the Holy Spirit. I'm applying to my life, and I'm keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what the problem is this. We're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. We're growing, and then all of a sudden we get right here, and we fall. We fall. There we go. We fall down. We stumble. And we make a big mistake in our life. And what's happening is this. The Holy Spirit's over here saying, all right, Johnny, get back up. Don't get back up yet. But he's telling us, get back up. Get back up. And what happens is we have people with religious mindsets, sometimes even good intentions. I need a big guy. Any big guy? Come here, Landon. Give me a hand, son. Come on, Landon. I need a big guy who can keep this guy pinned down right here. Think you're big enough to do this, son? You can't do me yet, but maybe you can get Johnny here. Okay, all right, let's go. Now, I want you to keep him down. Don't let him up. There you go. Come on now. Treat him like a nose guard, like you was going to take him out a little bit. Put him down. There you go. There you go. And so what happens is here, the Holy Spirit's over here saying, get up, Johnny. All right, get up. And what are you going to do? Push him back down. Come on, push him down. We have people who say, aha, you failed. See, I told you wasn't really a Christian. See, you don't have any spiritual fruit. Look what you did. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. You can't keep following the Holy Spirit. Instead, you go back to the back of the line and start over again. And we have people within spiritual abuse, whether they have good meaning or bad meaning, they're keeping us down, and we're trying to go and follow the lead in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like, listen, just get up. Just get up. And this time, listen, you're going to follow me. And this time you failed after 1 week. But our goal is next time I want you to go 2 weeks without falling again. And let's go. Let's go. Let's get stronger and get stronger and get stronger. See, the Holy Spirit is wanting to pick us up and to keep growing us and for us to learn from the mistakes we're at and keep going and walking in the grace and the freedom that comes from Christ. But thank you, guys. But what happens too much is we've allowed people to take us and set us right back here and say, ha, you blew it. I've had people look at me and say, you're going to hell. I've had people look at me and say, God could never use you. You think you want a pastor? Or you think you want to do this? Or you think you want to do this for God? I remember you, what you used to do. And we allowed people in spiritual power in churches, maybe family members, they come and they beat us down. And they've kept us down. Listen, we can't let that happen. We can't, number one, let's don't be that person that keeps people down, number one. Number two, if you've been abused, which is, let me tell you, spiritual abuse is very much a real thing. Just like physical abuse happens, there's those who have abused people in this church. And I can probably right now tell you there's a lot of people in this room who've suffered through some spiritual abuse in their life. People who try to make you feel like you wouldn't keep up to their rules or regulations and you were not worthy. Try to keep you down. Matter of fact, how many today would say, Pastor, I just want to be completely honest and say, I've suffered through some kind of spiritual abuse in my life. Anybody here want to raise your hand and say it's me? Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people in the first service too. This is what I want you to do. I want you all to stand. If you raise your hands and you've suffered through some kind of spiritual abuse, I want you to join me in the front. If you've been through any kind of spiritual abuse in your life, push into the front here. I want to pray for you as we close out this service today. Press on into the front. We're going to pray for you today. Look at me. I want you to know something. Some people just had good intentions and didn't realize what they were doing, okay? Through their own ignorance, they didn't realize they were really using spiritual authority for abuse. Some people just had malice in their heart. It was easier to point at your sin than it was to address the sin in their life. But whatever the reason, I want to tell you, I want to stand in the place of anybody who's ever spiritually abused you in your life, and I want to say this to you, I'm sorry. That was wrong. It should not have happened, okay? It should not have happened. I know what it feels like. And I'm here to tell you, whether that person ever comes to you, maybe that person's dead by now. Maybe that something's going on. Maybe you never see them again. I'm here to tell you, I ask you to forgive. Forgive people who have been in authority, who've spiritually used that authority to abuse you. Forgive. I know it hurts. But today I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit's going to set you free. The Holy Spirit's going to set you free from some of that today. Some of you here today, man, you've lived, and every time you try to grow in God, that thing comes back and that hurt gets you and it keeps you from going. And I'm telling you, from now on, this is not going to hold you back. That spiritual hurt, abuse you've been through, is not going to hold you back. Today, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to set you free. He's going to heal this once and for all in your life. So I want you to raise your hand. Some of the staff, we're going to lay hands on you this morning as we sing this song. I'm going to pray for you first, and then Justin's going to lead us. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that God, right now, that for every person up here in this front, that God, that you right now begin to release off of them the chains of spiritual abuse and hurt. That God, those people who try to use spiritual power to abuse them, to manipulate them, Lord, to make them feel less, I pray right now, those things begin to leave in the name of Jesus. Those things would take themselves away from their mind and heart. They must leave them. And Father, right now, I pray that a new freedom would come, that you begin to heal their hearts, heal their mind. And God, you're setting them free. This will no longer be a stumbling block. This will no longer be something that holds them back. But God, right now, you're helping them to forgive those who operated out of malice, out of ignorance, whatever it was. I pray we forgive them. And Father, now I pray they are released and set free from that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, set free from religious garbage, religious abuse. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a new freedom today. A new freedom, a new freedom, a new freedom, a new freedom in Jesus' name. Father, right now, that you are setting them free. You are setting them free in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing it. Father, in Jesus' name.
Creation shouts your praise. The hope for change, the highest name. And you will be forever you.
Come on, everybody, lift up your hands.
You are. You are. All of creation shout your praise. The hope for change, the highest name, and you will be.
Amen. I want you to raise your hands right now. Come on, raise your hands across the room. Say, God, I thank you, I'm being free. I thank you, God, I'm being set free from this religious hurts, religious chains. I'm being set free from spiritual authority who have abused me in the past. God, I'm letting that go right now. Those chains are falling in the name of Jesus. Those binds are falling in Jesus' name. I'm walking out here a free woman. I'm walking out here a free man. I'm walking out here free to pursue, God, everything, this life of freedom, that I can live a life bearing fruit. But people see me, they don't see someone who's hurt by the church or hurt by spiritual authority, but they see somebody who's bearing much fruit of the Spirit. And Father, right now, we're going to be spirit of people, spirit-led people, walking keeping in step with the Spirit. And Father, we say yes. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Now, come on, give a hand clap. Hallelujah. Come on, give a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. Give him a shout of praise. I believe something was done in the Spirit here today. For many people, something happened in the Spirit. You walk in new freedom today. God bless you. You guys have a great, great afternoon. Walk in your new freedom. Walk in that freedom today. God bless you. Amen. Thank you.